Today, women are responsible for $14 trillion of personal wealth. $14 trillion.
A lot of organizations are plentifully stocked with female prospects and are great opportunities to participate in networking with a high composition of women.
This whole idea of retirement and retirement security, of being able to feel secure that they're going to have enough money to support themselves and to have a comfortable and secure retirement, that's really a key factor for women that drives them to try to talk to an advisor in the first place.
Welcome to the Bright House Financial Insights Panel Podcast. In these monthly conversations, leading experts share actionable tips and strategies to help financial professionals like you build strong businesses and lasting relationships with clients. Hello, I'm your host, Stephen Boswell, president of the Oxley Institute, provider of marketing solutions for financial professionals, and we're starting a discussion on the topic, women in retirement. Women are an often underserved clientele for the financial services industry, even though many of them outlive men and control the majority of personal wealth in the U.S. Despite that, many women don't currently work with financial professionals, presenting financial professionals a huge business opportunity if they're able to successfully establish relationships with this fast-growing market of clients. In this episode of the podcast, our experts will speak to us about why it makes sense to serve female clients and how financial professionals can develop a prospecting strategy specifically tailored to female clients. Speaking to us in this episode, previously published in August 2019, are Maddie Dykewald, aging and longevity expert and co-founder of AgeWave, J. Michael Collins, financial capability expert and faculty director of the Center for Financial Security at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Marty Barletta, marketing expert and consultant. First, we spoke to Maddie about women's growing personal wealth.
There are so many reasons that a financial advisor ought to think very seriously about focusing on women and women's needs from a financial perspective. First of all, we've seen women's incomes grow dramatically. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that women were really financially dependent on men. We've seen that change pretty dramatically. We've seen women now get more highly educated than men, graduating from college and grad school in larger numbers than men. We see them entering the workforce in large numbers. They make up more than half of all managerial and professional positions in the workforce. And we've seen their earnings rise dramatically since the 1970s. Just as an example, their income has gone up 75% since the 1970s, while if you adjust for inflation, a man's income has remained rather flat. But we have seen tremendous growth for women. By the way, just as an example with this earning power issue, what we see is that back in 1960, only about 4.5% of women out-earned their husband. 4.5%. Today, that number has skyrocketed all the way up to 29%. Today, women are responsible for $14 trillion of personal wealth. $14 trillion. So financial advisors are really interested in that. Let me also add that through the studies that we've done, when couples go into a financial advisor, what they told us, both men and women told us, that they want to make financial decisions together. So that means a financial advisor needs to understand what the woman's needs are, values are, priorities are, as well as the man's.
That was Maddie on why women represent an important market for financial professionals to tap into. Then we spoke to Michael about women's engagement with the financial services industry.
At almost every age, men are more likely to work with an advisor than women, except definitely at older ages. We start to see that gap close a little bit. At younger ages, the gap's even bigger. So men are more likely to come at younger ages than women. And in fact, that gap has not really gone away. More people use advisors than ever before, but the gap between men and women really hasn't closed much, and especially at younger ages. So when we do see women coming in for a financial advisor, it's oftentimes with their spouse. They might be coming to the table because they're trying to work out some issues with their spouse and try to come to some common ground of what their financial goals are. Or it may be just, you know, through, you know, his work or her work, they come to an advisor and are trying to seek about what a plan might be. Maybe they haven't made any plan at all. When women specifically come in, it's going to oftentimes be because there's something else, maybe a non-financial thing that's causing them to be interested in talking about what their options are. As I have found in many studies, that women tend to look for multiple sources of information. And so women will often come in thinking about some issues that they're looking for information on and they're trying to make a decision around, but they haven't yet decided. So they're looking for different sources of evidence to try to help them make their choice. So places that we might see this would be there's a change in a job, perhaps a change in housing, kids leaving the house, or perhaps trying to think about an earlier age with their kids about saving for college and paying for college. But the big one for men and women, and in fact, in surveys, this tends to be, no matter what age group we ask, one of the most important reasons why people come to an advisor is they're thinking about retirement. And it's even higher for women than for men. This whole idea of retirement and retirement security, of being able to feel secure that they're going to have enough money to support themselves and to have a comfortable and secure retirement. That's really a key factor for women that drives them to try to talk to an advisor in the first place.
What do you think is the reason that women wait so long to seek financial advice?
They feel like it's for men and it's not for women, and that they feel sort of excluded by this industry overall. So this is, based on surveys. In fact, over half of women say that the industry caters mostly to men. There's even been some surveys where they ask women who've been in working with an advisor with their husband, and they say, that 3/4 of the time the advisor just focuses on their spouse. They look at their spouse and talk to their spouse and don't talk to them. So, for many women, there's a level of distrust coming in the door. And so establishing that trust is really important. Obviously, that's important with any clientele that you're working with, anytime you're trying to build up business, but particularly with women, because you're sort of coming in a little bit behind and trying to figure out the best way to make sure that you feel like you're an alliance, that you're working forward on the same kinds of goals.
What do you think advisors should understand about how women approach their financial situations?
They may have a couple of different ideas in their head, some things that they don't know very much about, some things they don't feel very confident about. And what they're going to be doing is looking for different ways to understand that problem. So the advisor's advice might be part of it. The information that the advisor might be able to share would be part of it. But also, to the extent the advisor can provide some financial education, some referrals to other sources of information to help validate and, provide sort of a third party or objective evidence to help them make that decision that they're going to make, that's going to be really important. The other thing that we hear a lot from women in surveys is that they don't like the sort of jargon-filled technical language that's often used in the financial industry. And so, trying to make sure that things are really relatable, that you're communicating in a way that's efficient but also that's plain spoken and that really doesn't try to cloud things with terms that maybe aren't necessary.
What do you think advisors should be cognizant of as they start developing a prospecting strategy for female clients?
I think the first thing to do that's really easy is just look at what kinds of materials that you have. Look at what's on your website. Look at the kinds of written materials or other electronic materials that you're sharing or even emails. And just make sure they're accessible. What assumptions are you making about the knowledge that people have? And this isn't just to be better serving for women clients. It's better serving for all clients. And try to build in a little bit more plain language in terms of your outreach and materials. Trying to make sure that you have educational materials available so that, if there are technical terms that clients need to understand, that you take the time or have resources available so that they can learn those terms and understand what it is that we're talking about when we use these shorthand jargon. So some of this is just communication. I think another thing that advisors can do is if you know that you have a client that is a couple, but you rarely ever see the female half of the couple, ask some questions about what assets she might have, if there's an advising relationship that you might be able to do jointly, or just be more more inclusive in terms of inviting the other half of the couple to the table, so to speak, and having some time to sort of build that relationship, especially since that may be eventually the sole client as the client ages and the couple ages, and it's just more likely that the husband will predecease the wife in these cases.
That was Michael on financial professionals being more mindful on how they can come across to potential female clients. Next, we asked marketing consultant Marty Barletta on whether she thinks financial professionals need to have a prospecting strategy that's tailor-made for female clients.
I do. Not so much different prospecting techniques, but where they implement those techniques, if you would. The question is, where do financial advisors look for new leads and look for new clients? It's not surprising. People tend to look for people like themselves. It's just like recruiting talent, you know? And they forget sometimes that people not like themselves also represent an opportunity. But when you're trying to get leads, it's a question of, I think of it in terms of reach, relevance, and response. And reach is, where do you find these very high opportunity, high potential prospects? You can find them in the same places you've been prospecting, but given what a great opportunity there are, you may want to go where there is a richer, a higher composition of women prospects. So that's reach. Where do you reach more of these prospects you're trying to find? Second, relevance. How do you talk with them? How do you make them aware that what you have to offer is highly, highly relevant to them, their family, and their future? And response, how do you get them to contact you for more information on these highly relevant topics? And the real reason that you want them to contact you is that then you can get their, ask them for their email address, and then you can continue to communicate with them on an ongoing basis.
How do you think advisors can network with women in a setting where there's a higher concentration of potential female clients?
I would research online women doctors, women orthodontists, women dentists, women attorneys, women CPAs. Or I would look internally in the local newspaper. What about the community house? What about, is there a women's exchange organization? Some may have it, some may not. Is there a PTA? Is there a village council? A lot of those types of organizations are plentifully stocked with female prospects, put it that way, and are great opportunities to meet to participate in networking with a high composition of women.
Once advisors are able to get a meeting with a potential female prospect, what should they be doing?
There are a few little things that if men were a little bit more aware of the differences between female gender culture and male gender culture, they could up their success rate and effectiveness with women clients and prospects so substantially. So let me give you an example. Men tend to start off a meeting with a new person by saying something like, "Let me tell you a little bit about myself." And then they launch into 10 minutes about themselves. And in male gender culture, this probably makes a lot of sense because male gender culture tends to be, their worldview just tends to be more hierarchical than women's worldview. Unfortunately for male financial advisors, with women, that tends to backfire. Women's gender culture is more peer group based than pyramid based. And with a gender culture like that, somebody who starts off the meeting, who views themselves as, you know, I'm the female prospect, I'm the topic of this meeting, I'm not really sure why we're starting off this meeting with 10 minutes of you bragging about yourself. Boy, that does not really give me the greatest impression.
Are there other marketing techniques that advisors should be aware of when prospecting with women?
Successful ways of communicating with women, this content marketing in particular, content marketing is kind of a buzzword, which I just want to be specific about. What it means is helping women become aware of the fact that there are problems that could happen to her family that there are solutions for if you start to work on them early enough. And what financial advisors who make women aware of them can distribute this information via a variety of different ways. One of them to their clients or anybody whose email address they have is their newsletter. Another seminar prospecting is a very popular way of prospecting amongst financial advisors, and that is a dissemination of information, of course. But, you know, this is the one area, seminar prospecting, where I think that financial advisors can be much more successful with a different approach than with mail prospects. So normally financial advisors are trained, or marketing people tell them, to get into for a seminar, see if you get pack the room. Try and get at least 50 people in there, because you're only going to get one or two leads out of every room of 50 people. So you really need to pack the room. When people have taken a different approach with women, they have had much more success. So the approach that some people have taken with women is, say, let's have a much smaller group, say 8 to 10 people, and let's talk, you know, specifically with these women. Let's hear from them what the family challenges, and let's talk a little bit about how people have solved it. That is so much more persuasive and compelling than somebody up at the front of the room standing there in front of 50 people saying an insurance agent job is, you know, this is what it's about. And so from that point of view, the dissemination of information is much more personal than it is just sort of general content marketing.
That was Marty on using personalized content marketing to prospect with women. Thanks to Maddie, Michael, and Marty for their insights. And don't forget to join us for the next episode of the Insights Panel podcast, when our experts unpack what women need in retirement and how financial professionals can help them prepare. You can find more episodes of the Insights Panel podcast on brighthousefinancialpro.com/insightspanel, or subscribe for free through any podcast app to receive new episodes direct to your mobile device. Stay ahead of the curve with the Insights Panel from Bright House Financial. This information is brought to you courtesy of Bright House Financial Incorporated, that provides, through its affiliates, annuities and life insurance products issued by Bright House Life Insurance Company, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277, and in New York only, by Bright House Life Insurance Company of New York, New York, 10017. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers, and the information presented is for educational purposes only. Speakers were compensated for their participation as subject matter experts. In these podcasts, the term advisor and financial advisor are used as general references to licensed insurance professionals and are not intended to indicate whether the licensed insurance professional is a registered investment advisor or is otherwise authorized under the law to provide financial advice.